Okay, welcome back. Calling to order the June 23rd meeting of joint meeting of the Kirkland Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council. Can I have the roll call?
Brian Gothrop?
Here.
Bill Goggins?
He stepped out.
Okay, sorry. John Kepler?
He's here, he just stepped out.
John Kepler?
Here.
Betsy Pringle?
Here.
Elsie Weber?
Here.
Rick Whitney?
Here.
Kelly Curtis?
Here.
Planning Commission, Carter Bag, Colleen Cullen?
Here.
Eric Law Liberty?
Here.
Mike Miller?
Here.
Glenn Peterson?
Here.
Sandeep Singal?
Here.
Matthew Pruitt?
Here.
All right, we have two items on our agenda for this joint meeting. The first is a study session on the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center and 6th Street Corridor Study. The second is a public hearing on the marijuana code amendments. That public hearing will not start until at least 7 o'clock. So if we wrap up early, we'll take a short recess. So before we get started, is there anyone signed up for public comment that is not here to give testimony on the marijuana regulations? Yes, okay.
Doug Waddell.
Okay, Mr. Waddell.
Doug Waddell, 13 Central, Suite C, Kirkland, Washington. First, I want to say hello to some familiar faces from 5-6 years ago, and then hello to some of the new faces who probably don't know who I am. I'm the owner, or represent the owners of the Houghton Court Apartments, which is 6719 106th Avenue Northeast, directly west of Bank of America. We went through quite a process before. I'm sure you guys are all aware of that process. Mainly what I wanted to do tonight was introduce myself. We're going to go through 6 months of a ride together. What I want to ask of you is that you look at the need. It's an epidemic right now, a diversity of housing in the area. If you drive down Lakeview Drive, Lake Washington Boulevard, State Street, that is what the community is becoming. Most of that was multifamily, and moving forward 20, 30 years was what we're trying to plan on. That will be what's going to happen. So we have more of a need for housing than 5 years ago when I was here, and it's only going to continue. So what I would, and if you look at the employments in the area, if you look at the shopping across the street, there is a strong need for diversity of housing. I have around several buildings in the area, and we house the people that work across the street, the first employees at Google or any other building or business in the area. We house your grandparents, your kids who come into the area for the first time. We house, unfortunately, the divorcees that want to live by their family. And not all these people can afford $1.5 million, $2 million home. And some people want something for 6 months till they can get into one of those homes. And we're losing all that. And my property, for you that aren't familiar, I said this was going to happen 5 years ago, not that I'm super smart or anything with stuff being torn down and built. My property will go one of two ways. It'll be 15 single-family homes, or it'll be a medium-density apartment building. There's no in-between. So what I would ask, now whether you agree with wanting change or whether you know, we're going to have a lot of emotional neighbors that don't want any change. That's going to happen. It's going to be hard for everybody, especially you guys. But you're in this position to make the right decision for the long term, and I'm hoping you do. And it may not be the decision that I want, but I think you have to step up and say, okay, long term, what do we need in this community? Do we want to have, solo $1.5 million homes and up, or do we want to provide housing for everybody, have the diversity of housing that we need? So I'm just asking you to go with your heart, drive around the area right now, and as we come up to the process, have an idea what you think is the right thing is, and stick by it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Waddell. Do we have anyone else?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can I ask Mr. Waddell a question?
Sure.
Doug, say 15 single-family homes or median-density apartments. How many apartment units were you talking about?
I haven't done a calculation right now. We have 24 there. I sold the neighboring property to the city,
right,
which is 15. It would have to be significantly more than that.
Okay.
I'm happy to sit down with anyone in the public, anyone here, a group of you, and go through the economics of it. The lots are worth probably around $500,000 each, and going up. And so anyone can do the math on that, but it will be a change.
Cool. Thank you.
But again, I'm willing to work with community and, you know, make it right. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Yep.
Do we have anybody else here to give public comment that is not on the marijuana regulations? Nope. Okay, great. In that case, we'll move on to the study session on the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center and 6th Street Corridor Study. Angela, is that you?
It is me.
Great.
But I won't be giving the presentation. We're just here tonight to bring you up to date on where we are with this study and project. Both the Houghton Everest Community Center and the 6th Street Corridor are being looked at over the next approximately 6 months. And we've hired a consultant team, and we have Deborah Munkberg from that team here to speak to you tonight and tell you what they're planning and how this will be organized and the timeline, and talk about the timeline. And then if you have questions, she can answer those. So I think I'll just have Deborah come up and give you her presentation.
Thank you, Angela. Okay, is this working okay? Okay, thank you. I'm Deborah Munkberg. I'm with a firm called Three Square Blocks, and we are sort of generalist land use planners, public outreach folks, and we're the lead on the consultant team. We've also got Transpo, does transportation planning and engineering, and Burke, who are economic consultants and urban design. And so all three of us are going to be sort of working in concert on this project. And I just wanted to do kind of a high-level overview of what we're up to and answer questions. So just stepping back and thinking about it from a big picture perspective, what we're doing with the 6th Street Corridor and the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Study is a integrated land use transportation study that looks at both the corridor and the commercial area in the neighborhood center. The outcomes that we're looking for are, first of all, a public outreach process that's inclusive, looks for a diverse range of opinions, and brings in participants that perhaps haven't been really active in neighborhood associations previously. So that's sort of the first thing. A second thing is the 6th Street Corridor Plan. And then the third thing are a set of recommendations for potential changes to the zoning code for the neighborhood center, possibly comp plan amendments if those are required, and possibly design guidelines. So those are the final outcomes that we're looking at for this project. We've broken the sort of the work program down into sort of three major tasks, and I wanted to just touch on each of those, starting with the public outreach, which we're really seeing as sort of the core piece that's going to sort of connect all the two more technical pieces together. So beginning this summer and proceeding into next fall, we're really looking at a fairly active kind of multi-pronged approach to public outreach. The core of our approach is an online survey, which I think we sent out some samples of some of the screens from those, and I can talk about that a little bit more. But that survey is going to be also supported by some more, especially in the summer, some more informal kind of conversational outreach, and we're going to have things like a table out in front of the PCC or the Metropolitan Market or potentially at the Google headquarters or neighborhood parks where we've got some questions and we can have sort of a quick and short interaction with people. We can let them know about the survey, provide them with some flyers or information about the project that would direct them to a website, as well as give them a little card that has the actual link. So we're looking to have the survey but really raise the profile of the survey throughout the neighborhood by being out in person talking to folks. The survey itself, I think we did send out a little bit of information that kind of shows what the screens look like. We picked that in particular because it's really designed to help hone in on specific priorities and provide for some preference and choice among people who are responding to the survey. It's got a pretty slick and easy-to-use interface. It's really designed to be... you can get in and answer the questions and be done in about 10 minutes. So we're looking to, in addition to kind of that informal piece, being at tabling events and other sort of activity areas within the neighborhood. We're also going to be just advertising it through the Neighborhood Association listservs, Nextdoor. We've gotten lots of ideas from a couple of the neighborhood associations that are most affected for how to publicize that. So that'll happen hopefully starting in the next month or so and proceeding probably through September. In September, we're going to be meeting with the neighborhood associations and providing some just feedback on what we've heard through this process and what we're starting to pull together as kind of preliminary concepts or ideas. And then in October, we're going to be doing a public workshop where we'd have the ability to do some instant polling and some feedback and sort of test some different concepts and sort of start to hone in on where there's a lot of agreement or where there's some areas where we need to continue to work those ideas. And then after that, we're going to go into the Planning Commission review process for the code amendments and then back to the Houghton Community Council. Sort of throughout this whole process, we will have a project website. There will be sort of consistent updates to the public and the ability to provide feedback to the website. So that's kind of the a real quick, kind of in a nutshell, what the public outreach process looks like. The other piece is transportation, the corridor plan, and that also will include some, we'll be addressing the questions related to the corridor through our general public outreach, but they also will be doing some more specific targeted outreach to business owners, property owners, folks who use that corridor a lot, and getting some real clear feedback that way. They're first going to have to really define the study area limits and boundaries, identify what are the kind of the key priorities and performance measures, look at kind of the existing and potential land use scenarios that we'll be developing as part of the neighborhood center study, test those scenarios through the transportation modeling and analysis, identify some solutions, and those could range from changes to mixes in land use, looking at network and operational improvements, assess those potential solutions based on the performance measures that have been identified, and then refine those and finalize those. For the neighborhood center, which is kind of the third big task area, that also will be benefiting from the more general public outreach, but also will be doing some more specific targeted discussions with key stakeholders, property owners, business owners. Talked to Mr. Waddell about that already, that we're going to be wanting to speak with him. And then looking at what's possible under existing zoning, what can happen there, what are some different scenarios that we should be looking at in terms of what the comp plan says, what the zoning code says, providing some visual modeling of those different scenarios so that people can take a look at that and understand what it actually means. We're going to be looking at sort of economic feasibility of redevelopment sites in the study area. What are likely redevelopment sites? What are the plans? What's likely to happen on those sites? And then bring all that together along with the public input to start to try to develop what are the recommendations for changes to the zoning code and to possibly the comp plan. So that's a very quick overview of what we're up to in the next 6 months or so. I'm happy to take questions.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll do you guys first.
Oh, I just have a question. I'm looking at your schedule.
Oh, yes.
Have you begun, because it looks like you're going to begin a lot of this in mid-June?
Yes. We're going to have to adjust the schedule a little bit. We haven't. Okay. We're very, very close to getting started, finishing out a few wrinkles in the schedule.
Okay, right so now. Then you'll extend the other things. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
So you said you have tables in front of stores. I'm just curious how you're going to capture that information when you talk to people. Are you going to ask them to do the survey there?
Or? Yeah, that was the main thought. What we'd like to do, because we're trying to do a lot of different small things, we want to keep the questions really consistent so that we can compare it all. So we can have the survey on an iPad. So one thought is just to have an iPad with us there, an iPad or two, and let people do it because it only does take a few minutes. The other thought was we could have just a more general flip chart up there where we could just record general comments, which is something that anybody could send in through the website. And then a lot of it will be just giving people information and hopefully driving them to the website and to the survey.
Thank you for the presentation.
Sure.
I have a question about the economic development area is pretty stagnant and targeted and reasonably identifiable by most people, that property within this area. The traffic really is not. It's a fluid, dynamic thing that reaches far beyond this targeted developed area. And so I wonder, have you all defined the boundaries, because you talked about boundaries, have you defined the boundaries of what your anticipated traffic target area is? Is it concentric? Is it out spines? Right. Is it to intersections? Is that going to change when you get impact from people? Because I think this is a big issue that needs to be addressed.
I think there's, you guys can help me out here if I get in trouble, but I think there's sort of two boundaries that we need to think about. One is, what's the boundary of the corridor plan itself that we're planning for? And that's going to be probably more finite and centered right around the corridor. The bigger study area that's going to have to capture, you're right, what is the bigger travel shed that's moving through that corridor that we need to be planning for? And I think that is going to need to extend out some distance, and I'm not sure what that distance is. I would need to rely on our transportation engineer. I'm guessing, though, we may need to be thinking about the interchange. We may need to be thinking about downtown traffic as it's coming in and, you know, potentially down further down on 108. So I can't give you a firm answer. I can just tell you it's going to be bigger than this specific corridor.
I understand you can't give me a firm answer. It was more conceptually of, will it change based on input from this online survey, or is it something that internally three-member team is going to generate as you move through the project?
Well, I guess I was thinking more technically, what do we need to look at in terms of how much traffic is flowing through that area? And that would be set by the transportation engineers, their best judgment, I think. The corridor itself, I don't know. We haven't really thought through how we're going to set that boundary yet.
Well, I think it's also part of a larger traffic model that takes into all the city arterials and collectors and the interstate and the CKC. So all that's part of the mix. It's not just a isolated analysis. It takes into account background traffic, through traffic. All those things are part of the analysis that goes into this.
If I could add to that, real quickly. I think that, John, maybe the other part of it is, what is the actual extent of the corridor that will be the product, right, of what the study will be, after you take into account all the traffic and movement that Paul's mentioning that comes really kind of limitless. It's just all the traffic that would be coming down that corridor, period. But then what is the corridor? The corridor, I think, originally was envisioned to be from the business district kind of north to, let's say, the downtown. But I think there's been a lot of interest probably from the community council extending that southward, like maybe down toward the Northwest University. So I think we haven't actually nailed that yet, but I do think that's should be on the table and that we should see if we can accommodate that. Does that make sense?
And can I just make one more comment? We went to the Transportation Commission a couple days ago, or a couple evenings ago, and they're talking about that too and trying to decide where the right cutoff spot is. And they did talk about going south of Northwest University, but haven't firmed it up yet. So we're bringing in their expertise too.
A quick follow-up, if I might. You'd mentioned the technical report and the technical data. Mm-hmm. I think most people that are going to come to these meetings and want to participate in this process, they're going to erase that word technical. It's probably more emotional for them, just traffic in general. Yeah. So, and that's really a different side of traffic study. You can have all the technical information in the world you want, but there's really another way to talk about this as well than the pure technical aspect of it, and I guess that'll be your artistry in the process.
We're going to try. I think what we're going to hope is to not have it be a whole bunch of technical data that's coming down on people, but a way to help inform the discussion.
Yeah, Betsy.
I just would like to also suggest that the development that's going to go in at Park Place Urban is also taken in, because people will be going that far down, and so that whole corridor, probably from the park and ride.
Definitely the sort of through traffic, big traffic flow, we'll be looking at existing, pending, and planned projects, projected development.
Thank you.
I see the corridor as being a giant cross, 6th Street and 108th, and then 68th and Lakeview area drive down. past the school and around that way. It's going to affect all of it because this is right in the center of it.
Right.
There's already traffic jams at 5 o'clock.
Right.
You can't get past the university. The cars are just piled up, and you get to sit there. I mean, this is traffic.
Yeah.
So you have a hard job, and I'm sure you'll do a good job at it, so I'll just be quiet, but I wanted to mention it.
Thank you.
Anybody on the commission with any questions? Yes, Sandeep.
Two questions. One on the schedule. You've kind of described the schedule as really as three separate projects, but I'm curious to better understand how you anticipate the interplay between the 6th Street corridor study and the business center study, because clearly planning for one will clearly affect the other.
Yeah. We're going to be looking at some different land use scenarios in the neighborhood center, and those will be used by the as part of the corridor study to figure out what are the traffic impacts under different scenarios, different levels of development, different types of development, office versus residential. So there'll be a little bit of a loop there, I would say. The land use assumptions will be fed into the transportation analysis, which in turn will provide us feedback into the land use study so that we know what kind of impact we're having. That's the main sort of crossover, I would say, between the land use and transportation piece. And then the public outreach is going to sort of knit them all together.
Right. If I may ask a follow-up question, perhaps, to our chair. Based on the outcome here, do we have a sense of when the results to council would be prepared? So what's the tail look like after this?
Oh, I'm going to defer to staff then. Just keep passing to the left.
I guess it's with me. So we have a resolution that was passed, and I think I attached it to your packet, which said that I think it's by the end of October you were supposed to have a recommendation to the City Council. We will try hard to stick to that. It might slip a bit, but our larger goal is to get through this by the end of the year. And so I guess that's what I would say as our final kind of deadline that we're trying to meet. Because of the summer and wanting to be sure that we get to the neighborhood groups, that type of thing, that's going to happen in the fall. And so, again, it might make this schedule of being done by the end of October with the Planning Commission a little tight. We're still aiming for that. We may not make it exactly. Does anybody else have something to say about that?
We want to make sure we get it right and have every opportunity for the public to be engaged with this. So we don't want to stretch it out too long, but we want to make sure it's effective and beneficial to the process.
Great. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is a public hearing for the marijuana regulation and code amendments. If you are here to give public comment on this and you have not already signed up, there are sign-up sheets up front. Though I suppose I probably need those. While we're getting those sign-up sheets, I just want to remind everyone of the ground rules. You have 3 minutes. There is, in front of you, there will be a box that has a green light, a yellow light, and a red light. Yellow means you're running out of time. Red means stop. That's it. And are we... We'll have a staff presentation before we take comment.
Yes.
Is that okay? Great. So
So the plan for the public hearing tonight is that the staff will make a presentation, and then we'll take questions and comments from the Planning Commission and the Community Council. And then there would be the public comments, and then you would close the hearing and deliberate and make either a joint recommendation or separate recommendations for the City Council on this. And then this will go to the City Council for action on August 16th. Just to give a little background on this study, the amendment study process and public involvement so far, there was a study session with both of these, both groups in May, and then staff provided a briefing to the Kirkland Alliance of Neighborhoods on June 8th, and then we've provided notice of this hearing to using the standard notice procedures, as well as we sent mailed notice to all newly eligible, potentially eligible properties if the buffer were reduced to 100 feet, which was what was requested at the staff at the study session in May. And then there's also been emailed notice to people who've been involved in earlier processes and the current process. And then you've received a number of comment letters, and then we've emailed all the recent ones to you that came after the staff materials were sent out, and then there's also before you a packet of all, copies of all of those as well. So a little background on why you're reviewing this at this point. There was new state legislation in 2015 that authorizes local governments to adjust the buffers around all the defined restricted uses other than public schools and playgrounds. And so all of those include recreation centers, child care centers, public parks, public transit facilities, and libraries and game arcades. And so the legislation authorizes the local governments to reduce that buffer from the existing 1,000 feet down to no less than 100 feet. And the City Council has expressed interest in this and has directed us to study this potential amendment, and their direction was to specifically study reductions in the buffers from child care centers, leaving all the other buffers intact, which includes the school walk routes and restrictions in the Market Street corridor and all of the other existing restrictions. So the current project is to develop amendments to reduce the buffer for marijuana retail only from licensed child care centers. At the study session, we were asked to provide additional information on several topics, and one of those was to provide a definition of child care center. So that was included in your materials, and it is shown on the screen. It's this is the state definition of child care center, which is regularly scheduled care for a group of children 1 month of age through 12 years of age for periods less than 24 hours. You also asked about whether or not there are buffer distances from liquor stores, and we found that there are not mandated distances, but the state does consider input from schools or churches that are notified when a liquor store is interested in locating, that these uses within 500 feet of that proposed location get notice, and then they can comment or object if they choose to, which may or may not affect the decision on whether or not to issue a license. And then what the rationale was for this recent legislation, and Kirkland City Council members were actually very active in testifying at the state level to in support of flexibility to enable more sites to be eligible for siting retail stores. And a lot of cities have had challenges in finding eligible sites with the buffer distances. So, and then also the initial rules were more restrictive than the federal rules for distances from controlled substances from eligible types of uses. So the legislature had that option to reduce those buffers and chose to give local governments the authority to make those adjustments if they chose to. And kind of an update on buffer distance changes that have been going on in other jurisdictions in the state. Some cities have reduced the buffers to 100 feet from all eligible uses. That's Electric City and George, Washington. And Redmond has also done that recently. So all of those are down to 100 feet from all eligible uses. Seattle has reduced the buffers to 250 feet in the downtown areas and 500 feet in all other areas. Olympia, it's 500 feet from all uses. And these are all other than schools and playgrounds because those are not eligible for reductions. Olympia, it's 500 feet. That's an interim regulation. Issaquah just passed on Monday night. They evaluated reduced buffers but chose not to reduce the buffers. They also have a cap of 2 stores in Issaquah, so they've created a cap which is less than their allotment. And they also require 500 feet between retail stores. And then Bellevue just passed an emergency ordinance which limits retail stores to 1 per sub area. So it's kind of a different approach. We have some maps, which you saw at the study session, that show eligible properties in the different parts of the city. We have a set of maps for the north half of the city and one for the south half. So the map on the screen shows the existing 1,000-foot buffer in the northern half of the city, and the eligible properties are shown in bright red and light blue. And there are currently 58 eligible properties in the north half of the city. With a reduction to 800 feet, there are 10 additional eligible properties, and all in the Totem Lake Business District. At 600, with a reduction to 600 feet, there would be 24 additional parcels, all still located within the Totem Lake Business District. And with a reduction to 400 feet, another 8 parcels become eligible, and they are now in, those would be in Totem Lake, North Rose Hill Business District, and one in Juanita. At 200 feet, there are a total of 65 additional parcels that are eligible, mostly in Totem Lake industrial and commercial areas, and then several in Juanita and North Rose Hill Business District. At 100-foot buffer, there are 7 more additional parcels, primarily in Totem Lake, but 1 additional in North Rose Hill and 1 in Juanita. This map shows existing eligible parcels in the southern half of the city. There are 19. Most are in the Northeast 85th Street area near I-405. One eligible parcel is in Houghton. With a reduction to 400 feet, and we don't have maps for each of these different buffer distances for the south half because there was no change with some of the distances. At 400 feet, 2 additional parcels become eligible in the Yarrow Bay Business District. And at 100 feet, there are 4 additional parcels in Yarrow Bay, so a total of 7 in Houghton. And these are all summarized in this table, which show, if you look at the total eligible parcels, it would go from 77 currently, and if the buffer were reduced to 100 feet, there would be a total of 155. So it's an increase of 72 in North Kirkland and 6 in South Kirkland, a total of 78 additional parcels. So the direction that was provided to staff at the study session was to bring 2 options for your consideration tonight. One would be to reduce the required buffer to 100 feet, and then the second is to reduce it to some point in between, 1,000 and 100. And some factors that we thought you might consider in making this decision is maybe the locations of the newly eligible parcels. At 600 feet, they're all in Totem Lake. At 400, there's 1 in North Rose Hill, 1 in Juanita, and 2 in Yarrow Bay. And at 100 to 200, there are additional parcels in all of those areas. So the staff recommendation is that the buffer be reduced to 100 feet from licensed childcare centers, and this would really just provide flexibility, but it wouldn't change the allotment, so there would not be any more than four stores. It just would open up additional parcels for those few licensed businesses that are looking for sites. And we'd recommend that this change be established through an amendment to Chapter 115, which is kind of the general chapter in the zoning code, and there's suggested language for that amendment on the screen, which is written. It's really something that the way this would work is that an applicant, in making their application to the state, would attach this language, which indicates to the state that the city has made the buffer adjustment, and so it's eligible to be located closer than 1,000 feet. So that is why it's written the way that it is. So do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, we'll do questions before we take public comment. Mr. Miller?
Dorian, there's been some discussion, you mentioned it, that there's a cap of four stores in
right.
the city. And that cap is set by the state, correct?
Right.
Is there any discussion about that cap being raised?
It was just raised. It used to be two, and now it's four. But beyond that, I haven't heard.
Okay. And as I understand it, there's three stores that have been permitted, and one is trying to get a permit, but the piece of property they're on, because of the wetland buffers, and so they can't.
Right. All four licenses have been issued by the state, but only three are really moving ahead. One of them actually still doesn't have its. So we have two in operation. A third one, the site works, but they're still going through permit review. And then the fourth has chosen a site that is that requires reasonable. It can only be developed through reasonable use, which isn't authorized. Retail is not a permitted use within those provisions at this time, but that may change with the changes to critical areas.
So is the practical effect of this ordinance, and I mean, if the state's already issued four licenses, what's the practical effect of the brain damage?
Very little. Theoretically, that fourth business would have more sites to consider. And also, if one of these were to not renew their license and go out of operation, then someone could reapply, or someone from another jurisdiction that had a license could come to the city and locate and would have more of a selection of parcels.
If the setback remained at 1,000 feet and that fourth operation that has a license but it can't, say they can't get the permit from the city to build wherever it is they want to build, is there a location, a current location in the city with that 1,000-foot setback that they could move to?
We don't know what's on those sites or which landlords are open to leasing to them. So
right. Aside from that, though,
there
may be some physical characteristics.
Eligible parcels there, or not 58? What was that? 78 or so, under existing? What was that? So I mean, 58 plus 19 currently eligible. So, but we don't know if any of those are available.
Okay.
Yes, there are 77.
Mr. Pruitt, I saw your hand up.
My questions were just asked, so I'm good.
Mr. Kapler?
It is doubtful that a school is going to move, but it is possible that a playground could move, be added, and it is possible that a daycare could go out of business, a new one could start, or it could move and relocate. So the question is, what sort of timeline is there? Is it really when somebody submits for a permit and whether a business exists or not exists in terms of you're within the distance?
Yes.
Can any of it work concurrently? So a daycare that works in space A is going to relocate to space B and their permits are in effect. Would that allow somebody to submit for a permit for a location? I'm just trying to get an idea.
I would think that as soon as the permit is granted, would be based on what the existing uses are in place at the time it's granted. So if someone moved, well, once it's issued.
Okay. So it is possible that somebody could submit for a permit for a dispensary that is within 1,000 square feet or 1,000 feet of a daycare, and the daycare might knowingly be moving and have an application to move to get out of distance. Because I think it's probable that somebody might ask a daycare to move is the question.
Oh.
I mean, you know, somebody might say, I want that space, and you're within 1,000, whatever the distance is, so they might help a daycare move. And so what's the timing on that is, I guess, the issue.
I think all that we can do when we issue the permit is evaluate, and that's really up to the state.
Well, would it
be based
on the issue date or the submittal date for the application date, I guess, is the...
I believe when the state issues the license, when they...
So they're
evaluating the 1,000 square, the 1,000-foot buffers.
Okay.
So when they do that, they have mapping that they use,
okay, so it's
and
irrelevant.
They would base it on what they're aware of at that
okay.
time.
Right. So they have to have the license before they have the space?
They do.
Got it. Okay. I thought it was the other way around, so sorry.
Ms. Curtis?
Thank you.
Oh.
But they do have to have the space.
Well, they do have to have the space,
yes.
actually, yeah.
So they do have to have a space.
Yeah.
So
the
sure?
license is based on the space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
they have to identify the space when they make their application to the state. But that
comment?
Doesn't mean that they've necessarily gotten City of Kirkland approval mm-hmm. for their business. Like, that's what happened with the one that's in the wetland.
Right.
Okay, Ms. Curtis had her hand up first.
Thank you. So the state gave us some flexibility on where we could reduce the buffers around different entities. What was the reasoning behind child care centers as opposed to libraries or transit centers?
Well, that's Kirkland City Council's choice to be to select that rather than the others.
Uh-huh.
And it's my understanding that they felt that that was a fairly compatible use because a safe use or whatever, because they felt that children of those ages are going to the child care center with an adult. They're not walking there on their own. They're getting dropped off for child care or, you know, so that they wouldn't be independently arriving there. So they felt like it was, you know, likely to have no impact.
And now that we know that the definition of child care by the state is 1 month to 12 years, those 12-year-olds have a little more independence than a 3- or 4-year-old.
Ms. Weber.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw Channel 5 News tonight. Channel 5 News said that on July 1st, and you may already have this information, that medical marijuana, can be sold in the retail stores and down to age 3 or so, as long as there is a parent with proper ID to go into the stores. I don't see a real problem with that, but the state is in a period of flux experimenting right now. Almost every other night you hear something on the news where Snohomish,
they just put a 6-month moratorium.
Moratorium on theirs. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, Redmond said 100 feet would be fine, but it's just, and what's to stop from next year? The state can say, okay, hey, this was great. We gave everybody 4 pieces. Mm-hmm. We're going to give them 25 this year. I'm just voicing my opinion that I think this is too soon to make drastic changes.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, I saw your hand up.
A few things. First, getting back to that thing on the licenses, as I remember, at least from the first go-round with marijuana here, the deal was to apply for a license, you had to name a location, which is why, because
right.
we had that big deal where 20 applicants named one spot on Market Street or something, and it was kind of silly. It was like you didn't even have to have a lease on it or anything, right? So you had to name one, but once you get the license, it wasn't like you had to go there, right? Wasn't that correct anyway? Just to get back to that question. I had the question, was there any thought by staff or council of anyone of us, of the city, doing a limit, you know, which may be higher than the state limit anyway, because I can see one of the concerns might be, it's one thing when there's only four of them, but, you know, if the state suddenly throws it wide open, you know, that might be a whole, you know, different thing in people's minds, and then we'd have to go back and react to the state thing. So was there ever any consideration to saying, well, the city will impose a limit too, which, you know, might be higher than the state's or something like that?
Well, that's something you could consider doing.
Okay.
Like Belt or Issaquah has just done that.
They have?
Yeah, they have capped it at two, and they have an allotment of four.
Okay, so they capped it below the state. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I have one other question, and you'd mentioned this here, but this is so Kirkland city council members, or, you know, not by voter, you know, I'm trying to think, was there an action or something like this? Council members actually went to the state and lobbied to permit this change, right? Was there an active council to do that, or just certain council members did that, or how did that work?
I'm not sure. I think
the city council is involved each year with the legislature in identifying legislative priorities, works with the Association of Washington Cities, which is a group that does a lot of lobbying with the Olympia. And so this was an issue that was identified as one of the priorities to work with AWC and the legislature to deal with. And it was just, you know, I think Kirkland was there and other cities, the Association of Washington Cities was there, and they go to committee meetings where of the legislature and voice the opinion that there should be more flexibility given to local governments on that issue. And ultimately a bill was passed by the legislature which allowed for that.
I might add too that when the council adopt the regulations, they voice that kind of perspective that it may be too limiting and that we want to explore other options for flexibility throughout the city. So that was part of the discussion when the original regulations were adopted.
Ms. Cullen?
All right, thank you, Eric. So I have a question. Most of the daycare facilities that I've observed around town, they have playgrounds attached as a part of that facility. And yet, when you give the background discussion on the front page, you say that the proposal does not include reductions to buffers from any other restricted entities, and playgrounds is on that list. So how will we address
playgrounds? I think it's public playgounds.
So it's okay.
There's a definition for that, which I don't have here, but I think a licensed child care center playground would not meet that.
We probably should make sure that we've specified that it's a public playground then as a part of this. I mean, when it's...
Well, these are all based on the state's definitions, and they have the responsibility of identifying whether or not the use meets that definition. So they would not allow it if it were near a playground that did meet that. So if it were a child care center with a qualifying playground, they wouldn't be able to issue the license there.
I saw Mr. Pruitt's hand first.
One of the emails that we received that interested me the most was from Mr. Honig, and it raised a question for me. I'm sure this is a unique situation, obviously, because we've never had legal marijuana in Washington State. But are we at some potential risk for adopting rules, having people apply to own businesses under those rules, and then changing those rules under a short period of time that then could put those businesses at a disadvantage?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, that's happens a lot with zoning changes. People may make investments under certain codes and then rules change. So
Sandeep, and then Ms. Weber.
Couple of questions.
I'm gonna stick my foot in my mouth. Is this being driven because?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Weber. Somebody you're next
else?
In line.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
A couple of questions. One is, if the state were to raise the number of licenses that the city is eligible for, is there a process by which the city has review authority over that, or is the anticipation that we would have a chance to go back and revisit any changes we might make in light of those limits being increased?
I would think you could come back with another process. The city council might choose to do that and put a limit on the number if that's what the city wanted to do.
I would also add that when the state is contemplating changing its regulations, it sends out notice well and ahead of time, invites cities to comment. So there would also be an opportunity for the cities to have a discussion about that issue internally and then voice an opinion to the Liquor and Cannabis Board. I was going to say Liquor Control Board, Liquor and Cannabis Board about that, but we wouldn't have any authority to veto what they do. Just really how, then the question would be, how do we want to react to that?
Okay. And then one more follow-up, if I may. In the case of liquor stores, the control board sends out notifications and has a process to honor rejections from schools, at least. Do we have any similar precedent within the city where we allow a neighboring business to veto or kind of block adoption of another permit?
No?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I'm not aware of any.
Ms. Weber?
I changed my mind, Eric.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was too slow. Mr. Is it Goggins?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Has the city taken into account any of the studies that reflect the detrimental things that happen to youth when they're exposed to marijuana? I'm looking at a recent April 2016 American College of Pediatricians. The abstract says, although increasing legalization of marijuana has contributed to the growing belief that marijuana is harmless, research documents the risks of its use by youth are grave. Marijuana is addicting, has adverse effects upon the adolescent brain, is a risk for both cardiorespiratory disease and testicular cancer, and is associated with both psychiatric illness and negative social outcomes. Evidence indicates limited legalization of marijuana has already raised rates of unintended marijuana exposure among young children, may increase adolescent use. Therefore, the American College of Pediatricians supports legislation that continues to restrict the availability of marijuana. This is from April. Then there's, just looking at the University of Washington website, Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute, there's a link to adolescents and marijuana. Studies have shown that an adolescent uses marijuana early in life, and for a prolonged period of time, it can lead to a number of significant problems. Memory, attention, and learning, school performance, problematic behaviors, increased risk of mental health issues. Are you guys taking that into account when you talk about putting dope dealers next to daycare centers? This is just absurd to a reasonable person like myself. Here's more.
I'm not sure if that's rhetorical. We'll have discussion later. Right now, we're just questions for staff. Ms. Pringle.
Just a question. I asked this at the study session, and I don't really feel like I got a clear answer. Typically, when we're asked to change zoning, there's a compelling public interest. And what is the public interest? What is the public's interest in changing this buffer? I understand the city council asked for it, but
right.
What is the public interest that is being served?
Well, the city council has directed us to study it. I would assume that their thinking is that by making changes, they're providing more opportunities for illegal use to locate in the city.
But so. That would be the businesses. That would be
I don't know if they're thinking about, you know, the support for the legislation when the vote occurred, and you know, I don't know.
Okay,
Kirkland supported.
It's just usually when we talk about zoning, we often have you know, the public benefit would be that, you know, the public gets something, you know, there's a reason for this for the public, but this
I would think it's just they're trying to follow through on the support from the city of the legislation.
Mr. Miller?
Is there a zoning restriction or zoning regulation that restricts the distance between marijuana stores?
No.
So that you could have multiple stores next to each other?
That's true. Okay. That's something I mentioned that Issaquah has imposed a restriction
right,
of 500 feet.
But we don't have one.
But we don't.
Okay.
I might add some jurisdictions want to see a cluster in certain locations, so they keep it away from other locations. So it's a debatable thing.
Yeah.
Right. And Ms. Weber?
You did say Mrs. Weber, right?
Yeah, you're up.
Is this being driven because there's such a nice tax thing through the city of Kirkland from each one of these?
I haven't heard that. I don't know that.
It's right here in your report. I don't remember on what page, but it shows how much money the state's going to give the cities, and we're a city,
this was not
for having marijuana stores. And it's supposed to multiply each year if you get more stores. And I'm just curious.
This would not result in any additional marijuana stores.
Well,
we're limited to four.
The ones that, if they get all four.
Mm-hmm. Well, there already
are. The city is going to get a certain percentage of the 37.3% taxes that the state gets. It says so right in here.
Issue is not about getting more additional stores.
No,
so this
we
is
have
a question
a total
about
four
location
way.
Of the allotment.
Well, maybe not more stores, but it's going to happen off the four stores.
It's already capped
right?
at four stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the state issues more permits next year and we can get more stores, I'll just be quiet.
Gawthorpe?
Yeah.
I get it.
Last time we looked at this issue, it was showing a map of where the different child care centers were, daycare centers were.
Yeah, that's on all of these maps.
Right,
that's the dark blue.
Yeah. So a question I have is, I know that... Lake Washington Toddler Group Center is in the plaza with Laughs, which seems to be where
With where?
In the plaza where the comedy group...
Totem Square.
Yeah.
That's over in this area.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that one.
So, I thought that was within 1,000 feet.
This is. And so you can see there aren't any eligible ones in that... general vicinity. This sort of muted red color shows they're not eligible. That it's commercial land, but it's
okay.
So it would be if it weren't for that buffer. It
okay.
would be allowed
right.
in there, but not.
Okay, I just misread it. Thanks.
Okay.
Mr. Whitney.
I probably should have made this comment a long time ago, but I would encourage everybody on Houghton Community Council as well as Planning Commission that at this stage we should be keeping an open mind to the public hearing process and listening to what everybody has to say before we express our own opinions and appear to prejudge this issue. So it's one thing to ask for clarifications from staff, but to be expressing an opinion before you've heard the public's input, I don't think is constructive. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Whitney. Sandy?
One more follow-up question. There's been concern raised about the parking patterns that might interfere between daycare and marijuana establishments that share a common industrial center. What is the process by which parking concerns would be evaluated in the permitting process?
I didn't see that. You mean a conflict between the child care center and a retail use?
Right. I mean, typically, I think the general concern is that daycare tends to have a fairly rapid flow of traffic at peak times versus
There are fairly specific parking regulations for childcare centers that talk about drop-off areas and that kind of thing. So that might address some of those issues. I mean, each use would need to provide their own required amount of parking, but there isn't anything specific about those two uses together, other than we do have in the zoning code specific parking provisions for childcare, drop-off and parking.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We'll now open up for public comment for our public hearing. I have two people signed up. If you arrived a little late and didn't have a chance to sign up, we'll still let you talk. Don't worry. But I'll pass this back when we're done if you could then sign up. So first is Margaret Bull.
Hi, I'm Margaret Ball, and if I'm on camera, I want you to see my cool T-shirt. I have spoken several times on some of my feelings about cannabis. I'm dismayed that the council is so enthusiastic about cannabis use in this city because of the great social impact it's going to have on us. But that said, I'm also a retired daycare owner, and I'd like to see the city provide more daycares, provide less limitation on daycares in this city. And so if you move the boundary to 100, whatever it is, feet, then in the future, there won't be a limitation on a daycare if a cannabis store is available in a similar location. So I like to see as many daycares in this city as possible, and there's quite a bit of regulations that's keeping that from happening, and I'd hate to see this regulation cause problems down the road with where a daycare can be placed. If you really want to see the effect of the cannabis on our community, you can hang out in front of our public library. You can hang out in the parking lot of our public library. So I'm not really concerned about little children going into a cannabis dispensary when, in fact, they could just talk to somebody outside of our library if they want to toke. So I really think we're making too big of a deal about four dispensaries or stores or whatever you want to call them in our city. I think what we need to be more careful about is that our city council comes up with a plan to cap it at four stores. So that's where I have some of the concern is more, are we going to get more and more stores, and that's this issue. But it's not a very big issue if a lot of daycares are not allowed in many locations, and if, in fact, we're only allowed to have four stores, and we're quite a big city. So I think sometimes we're getting a little too anxious about this, how close are you to a daycare? I mean, daycares are close to all kinds of things that I wouldn't really recommend. We have bars in this house, in this town. We have smoke shops. We have whatever. So that's how what I believe should be changed is more making sure we have a cap according to our city, not necessarily according to the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bull. Next, we have Monica Kinsman.
Hi, everybody. My name is Monica Kinsman, and I represent Higher Leaf, one of the two open recreational stores. We opened about a year and a half ago, and the owners, Mr. Honig, did include a letter in your packet, which Mr. Pruitt mentioned. Our store is against reduction of the buffer. We feel that the council should take a more cautious approach when it comes to the market, which is a market that has a lot of uncertainty right now. All four of the licenses have already been issued, and we feel that at the time when we opened, we worked closely with the city to be able to find a location in the first place. Made a significant investment in that location. If the other three licensees are able to relocate into areas that are into the new parcels. We feel that it would really crush our store in particular, who has about 600 customers a day coming parking in our parking lot. And because of the large uncertainty, we just feel that a more cautious approach should be taken when it comes to reducing the buffers. So thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Ms. Kinsman. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to give testimony on this but did not have the opportunity to sign up beforehand? Yes. Please come on up, and if you could state your name and address for the record. And then we'll get her signed up. Yeah.
Hello. My name is Corey Laurent. I'm employed at Mary Jane Marijuana Boutique in Totem Lake, 13513 Northeast 126 Place in Kirkland. I just am here today to voice our business's strong support for the amendment to reduce the buffer zone. I think that we need accessibility to cannabis here in our community. We know that many of the people that live and work in this community, many of them are medical patients. We know that they're actually leaving our community to go to stores outside of our community. Every time this happens, the city of Kirkland is losing the possibility of, you know, their share of the taxes. But the main reason we support this is because we think it's the right thing to do for the people of our community that consume cannabis medically as well as recreationally. We think that it's the right thing to do to have more accessibility, and we just ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. If you could record your information over there. Okay, is there anyone else in the audience who would like to give testimony on for our public hearing tonight? Okay, in that case, we are closing the public hearing or the public comment. I can never do this artfully.
Public comment portion.
The public comment portion of our public hearing. We'll now, both the Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council will deliberate and make a recommendation to council. So, who wants to lead us off with their thoughts? Or, yes, Mr. Pruitt.
I'm gonna ask a question first. And my question is we keep talking about this accessibility issue and accessibility to cannabis, and there's two stores in Kirkland and possibly going to be four. There's stores in Kenmore. There's stores, I think, in Bothell. Has this issue at all been looked at, that the state regulations as they were, there was not enough access to cannabis? Is there an issue? Is that a question that anybody can really answer?
I'm not sure I can answer it, but I would say I think the LCB is attempting to kind of regulate a market here, and part of the reason why they picked four stores for Kirkland and X number for other cities is to try to establish what they believe is the proper number of, in this case, retail outlets to serve that market. It's kind of an ambitious thing, in my opinion, for an agency like that to sort of regulate this market. But just I think that's what their charge is, and that's why they came up with the numbers. So I suppose, to further that line of thinking, if they found that the market was over or undersaturated, you know, then they would make some judgments about changing the numbers allocated to cities. But how that process works, how they actually evaluate all that, I don't really know.
And if I can add, too, I think that the number went to four because of the integration of the medical marijuana dispensaries into the retail system. So, and it was based on population to begin with.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Mr. Whitney.
Well, now I will express my opinion, but I waited because I wanted to hear the testimony, and I'm relying heavily on the written comments that we received from the public, which was extensive. And to me, the most compelling arguments strongly would cause us to reject any modification of the buffers. We don't have reliable information and knowledge on the impacts of these businesses. Allowing more time to understand and evaluate the impacts before reducing the buffers would seem to me to be pragmatic and responsible. The rules the City of Kirkland imposed on the locations were made and relied upon by the licensees in choosing their locations, and they made substantial investments based on that. Their business is fraught with uncertainty and risk, and this change could have a significant negative impact upon them, and I don't think we should just cavalierly say, well, we make zoning changes all the time, not when somebody's only been in business for a few, a year and a half or whatever, months, but in such a short time, there's no opportunity for them to even recover their investment. And I think it's irresponsible for us to put them at a significant competitive disadvantage by allowing somebody else to locate in a much stronger location before they've had a chance to recover their investment, or at least have a chance at it. And there's no urgent compelling need to make this change at this time. We can review it in a couple years, and after we have more information, then maybe consider it. I strongly oppose any modifications.
Mr. Kapler, then Mr. Peterson.
I think one wonderful thing has come out of this whole process, and that is Olympia has publicly stated that they like the idea of giving local jurisdictions more flexibility in their destiny. I think that's great. However, in this particular instance, I think most of what Rick said is spot on from how I look at this. It's very, very difficult to analyze holistically. I keep remembering back to the conversations of Joe Camel impressioning young people, and when the state defines daycare up to 12 years old, I think that we have a responsibility to be as protective as possible to young impressionable minds. So for that basis, without going any further at all, I agree with Rick. I think we should leave this alone.
Sorry, Mr. Peterson first.
I want to ask a question, getting back to Paul's comment about the medical one. So remind me now, are all the medical marijuana stores going to have to close down now? Is that what's going on?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or they have to be integrated into a retail operation.
Right. Or they have to, they have to become integrated into one of these illegal ones. Right. Do we have any idea, are there medical ones in Kirkland?
No, they were prohibited in Kirkland before.
Oh, they were prohibited in Kirkland before. Okay. Nothing else right now.
Okay. Mr. Goggins?
Yeah, I'm with Rick and John. I'm strongly opposed to decreasing the buffer from what it is today. We need to keep dope dealers away from our daycare centers. I mean, it's common sense.
Anyone else want to share their thoughts right now? Mr. Miller?
I'll go ahead and jump in. I'm just struggling here with the rationale for reducing the setbacks, and it's not for the reasons previously stated. Marijuana is a legal substance in this state. Kirkland citizens voted overwhelmingly in favor of legalizing it. And I think the city council, and I really don't want to speak for them, but I would suspect that part of that is they recognize that the overwhelming portion of the population voted in favor of legalizing marijuana, so they have to have some place to build the stores. But that being said, I don't understand why, if we've already have four licenses issued in this city and we're capped at four, why we need to increase the or reduce the buffers to allow more sites. The the rationale that the staff has given us is that it provides greater flexibility, but right now we have some 77 sites available, and someone seems to be jumping to the conclusion that of those 77 sites, virtually none of them would allow a marijuana establishment to open up on the premises. And I just am really struggling with why someone has felt that we need to go from 1,000 feet down to 100 feet to open up. I'm not quite sure how many more. I've been trying to add this up, but you know, probably at least doubling the number of sites available. So I'm not quite sure why we need to increase the number of sites available since we've already capped it at 4 and we've got 4 licenses issued. On the flip side of that, though, I would point out to both the rest of the commission and the Houghton Community Council that the setback, even if it is reduced to 100 feet, looking at the map, that's 100 feet from the edge of a parcel to the edge of a parcel, correct? So the practical reality of reducing the setback to 100 feet is not 100 feet from necessarily 100 feet from a store to a store. If you look at the Totem Lake map, that one daycare center that one of the Houghton Community Council members was referring to in the southerly portion of Totem Lake, if you notice, if it is dropped to 100 feet, the practical setback is significantly more than that from the daycare center to the nearest site that would be allowed to have a marijuana establishment. So it's, you know, when we talk about 100 feet, it is going to be a lot more than 100 feet from a daycare center to a marijuana establishment. But again, I don't understand the rationale for needing more sites when we've already got 4 licenses issued, we're capped at 4, we've got some 77 current parcels available. I mean, if anything, you know, maybe going down to 800 or even 600 feet, 600 feet just in Totem Lake gives another 24 additional sites available. You know, so I just, even with that, have a struggle even understanding why we need to go 600 feet, but I can't see any particular reason to go below 600 feet.
Ms. Pringle, thank you.
I think that I also was had spent a lot of time studying the written comments, and I think the one that really struck me was the parking study that they had done in Redmond, or that was presented by, anyway. I know that I think there's quite a few daycares that are in neighborhoods, and looking at this parking, the parking results here where you have like 50 cars an hour, 600 cars a day, you know, that just seems like an awful lot of, I don't think we would allow any other business, I mean, typically in neighborhoods to have a neighborhood, I mean, now, there probably aren't any sites that would be allowed at this point, but I guess it just, the traffic on this seems a lot of short-term coming and going traffic, and I just think that's problematic, especially in an area where there are people dropping off children, picking up children, kids walking back and forth. So that was, I think, one of my main concerns was just the traffic generated by these, and I guess Redmond assumed that people would be walking to the stores, but that wasn't the case. And so it seems like you would also need quite a bit of parking. If you're doing 50 people an hour, that's quite a bit of parking. So anyway, that was something that made me feel like, I don't think we want to do this. It's inviting a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Peterson.
Well, let's see. I guess to start with, as far as social acceptability of whatever, as far as marijuana goes, that ship has kind of sailed, I think. decided we're going to allow it. The question is here is down to, is it a problem near daycares? And I tend to think it isn't. You know, as far as parking goes, we have regulations around that, and I don't want to disallow it just based on, you know, that. As far as the idea, I can't agree with, I understand Mr. Miller's comments about we already have these four licenses, but I mean, things can change. Oh, we're trying to do something that's just permanent. Somebody can close one location, want to open another one, something like that. All sorts of things can change. So we have to have some availability, and, you know, 50 or 75 legal locations isn't a ton when they're limited for, you know, they're different sized buildings, they're the wrong floor plates, you know, there's, you know, other stuff going on in there. Landlords don't want to lease to them, so you really got to have a great amount to permit something. I agonize over the Mr. Honig's comment that, hey, I'm out here, I jumped in here, and now you're changing the rules that someone else might get a better location. I guess that's one thing that bothers me. I can see someone wanting to go into a Totem Lake location, you know, near Totem Square there, not in it, if, you know, in a more accessible location. But I'm not compelled to say we should do that for, you know, one retailer. It's interesting the other retailer said the opposite. They welcomed it. So I think we ought to make it more accessible, particularly given the limit on the number of retailers. So I think I would oppose, I wouldn't mind a 200-foot buffer, but I would propose going with 100-foot staff suggested, and I would propose imposing our own limit of a city limit of four retailers, so that the state raising it wouldn't get in our way, and that would reassure people that, hey, they're not going to be all over the place. There's got to be a limit to that. I mean, I was actually going to say six, but I would say four, but those are, anyway, 100 to 200 feet, limit of four to six retailers. Those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Ms. Weber, I saw your hand first.
Earlier, Monica Kismet, I hope I said your name right, of Higher Leaf, she said that they had 600 customers a day. Now, let's say 100 of those walked to the store, which is very unbelievable. And let's say 50 of them were two people in a car, and we knock that down to 400. That's 400 cars in an 8-hour period. Where are all those people going to park? And where do the people that have regular businesses and regular things in the neighborhood, where are they going to put their cars and trucks and things that they need? And also, Eric, House Bill 2136, page 1 of it, explains the tax thing that I was talking about. Yes, the city gets a nice break from it. I would vote to not change the buffer.
Mr. Singh Hall.
I struggle with this on a couple of different fronts. I agree with Mr. Miller that I simply don't see the urgency of a change at this time. I'm not seeing clarity that we have a problem that we need to be solving, at least not at the current time. That said, I find it interesting as we look at how the zoning maps change, that effectively any new locations that we do open up is largely concentrate in the same general areas. You know, we open up a small number of locations in a relatively small number of locations in South Kirkland, but any additional parcels largely end up centering in the Totem Lake Business District, a little bit in Juanita. At some level, I also believe that if we do open things up, we probably aren't changing very broadly the neighborhood makeup or the set of neighborhoods where things are getting concentrated. I think that the middle ground, given that fact, it seems that the middle ground seems to be in the 600 to 800 range, where you open up more space a little bit in that same general neighborhood area, which really won't change the character of that neighborhood, the Totem Lake Business District area. So if we were to make a change, I think a small change would be the one necessary, although not seeing the urgency, I'm not sure that that's something that we have to do right now. I do agree with Mr. Peterson that a cap does seem to make sense, given that I think a lot of our assumptions, if we do make any changes, are going to be based on the assumption that we don't have a large change in the number of licenses. It seems that if we that is something that we should be codifying, and then we can always revisit if the state decides to increase the number of permits.
Mr. Pruitt.
As a new planning commissioner, I'm kind of trying to sit here and decide what my philosophy is about these kind of things, and I've come up with a couple of things. And the first one is when we're doing things like this, I think we should be cautious. And the second thing is that I like flexibility. I like that some of the city council members went to Olympia and encouraged the state to provide cities more flexibility in deciding their own fate. I think that's a good thing. That being said, this doesn't seem like a cautious thing to do to me, to go from 1,000 to 100 feet. It doesn't feel, based upon public comment and other concerns that were raised, that this is necessarily the time to do this. And I'm not saying that in the future there won't be a time. I like the idea of a 600-foot buffer. I also like the idea of a cap. I don't know if 4 is the right number for that, and I think that that's an issue that might need to be a little more studied a little more before we came to that conclusion. But 600 feet to me seems both cautious and providing more flexibility, and I think that should be the goal of what we're trying to do here.
Ms. Cullen.
I agree with Commissioner Miller that I don't see the compelling reason for us to make this change at this point. I'm not in support of going from 1,000 feet to 100 feet, and if some kind of compromise is needed, I think would consider the 600 to 800 foot range. And I think the idea of maybe a moratorium, at least until we understand we have more than, 15 months under our belt with the retailing, so we understand something about how this business operates in the city of Kirkland. I don't mean being in people's business, in their books or whatever, but just understanding the traffic patterns, understanding who's coming, who's going, so on and so forth. I just try really hard to be pragmatic about what it is that we're doing, and I don't see the compelling need for the change.
You'll get it. Curtis.
Ms. Curtis, thank you.
Thank you. I agree with Mr. Pruitt, being the new person on the Houghton Community Council. It's like, where am I on this? But I do recognize that we live in a fairly conservative city, so there's no one at our table that I disagree with so far. I don't see the urgency for making this change right away. And I also wonder if when the city council decided that child care centers were going to be okay, if they were thinking a younger age child rather than a 12-year-old, and now that we know that the legal definition is 12, they might reconsider it themselves.
Thank you. Okay, I'll offer my 2 cents. I support staff's recommendation to decrease the buffer to 100 feet. My thinking being that I have read all of the packet. I have looked at the legislative history for both the amended bill and the original. And I don't see a compelling reason for any buffer around daycares. This is a legal business in the state of Washington, and we are using our daycare buffer as a blunt tool to regulate the locations that parcels can be located, or the parcels that you can operate on in the city of Kirkland. And the change from, even with the 100-foot buffer, the change from 1,000 to 100 does not, the parcels that are opened up, again, I don't see a compelling reason for prohibiting locations at those parcels. My thinking is I'm looking at this from, if we were starting from scratch, how would we think about the issue rather than as a change? So I feel that I am an outlier on this, but I support staff's recommendation. So I think, has everyone had a chance to chime in? I've heard, yes, Mr. Gothrop.
As having three children under six, I feel
tired.
Tired is one word. Yes. I'm really glad that they did clarify the definition, because I think it was very easy to assume that childcare means a type of facility where the child can't leave by themselves, and it's always dependent on the parent. They'll be even holding hands in the parking lot. And I don't, you know, my kids aren't that old yet, but I can envision at 12 they won't be holding my hand in the parking lot, and might even, be able to leave by themselves. And so I think with the definition that has been provided, we should consider it the same as an elementary school child care facility. So I'm not going to voice my opinion regarding cannabis in general, because I don't think that's the issue here. But I think that we should consider the child care facilities the same as, from a zoning standpoint, as elementary schools. That's it.
Thank you. Well, it feels like we're coalescing around a recommendation. Is there anyone who wants to make a motion?
Well, have Potent do a separate motion than the planning commission.
That was a question. So we have two separate things here, right?
Well, we could. I suppose we could join with their motion, right? We could have a joint.
If you can get there, yes.
It would
be appropriate to make a joint recommendation.
Well,
no.
If we can.
No.
Only if
you're setting precedent here.
Okay. Well, I think I guess given that they have disapproval jurisdiction, let's start with Houghton. If you guys want to.
Yeah, we're thinking about, might be better to have a separate recommendation from each body.
From each body. Okay. Great.
Well, in that voice, then, is it a good idea to list out reasons or a simple motion?
I think reasons is always good if you have those. I think typically the Houghton Community Council make a recommendation to the Planning Commission, then they pass on their recommendation to the City Council. That's the, kind of the order of things. But rationale is always good when you make motions.
So within our group, since we're first and recommend up to you, and I'm going to suggest that maybe Rick, since you started off with some definitions, that maybe we list those 1, 2, 3, 4, and then if our group can coalesce on what we agree to send to the Planning Commission, that's what we ought to do.
Like definitions? What do you
well,
mean?
Definitions was a bad word, retracted.
Your reasons.
Your reasons, oh. Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll state my reason. I'll restate them just for the record.
Maybe
but
bullet point them 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to add Brian's because I didn't list that, but I think it's an awfully compelling reason as well, that having that. But we don't have reliable knowledge of the impacts of the businesses and allowing more time to understand and evaluate those impacts just makes sense before reducing the buffers. That's one. Two, businesses have invested in locations and relied upon the rules that were in place, and I think it's inappropriate to change those rules, which could have a significant negative impact upon them in such a short time in a business that's already fraught with uncertainty and risk. So I think it's inappropriate to impact these businesses that have invested in our community that way. Again, there's get maybe 2 or 3 years from now, different story, but give them time to be able to recover their investment. Brian's point, I think, is really compelling, that why should daycares, which allow children up to 12 years old, be treated any differently or viewed any differently than elementary schools? And overall, there is no urgency to this. We already have 4 locations that have been identified and approved. We don't have a compelling need to make the changes anyway. So let's just chill and let this play out. In a couple of years, we can reconsider it after we've seen how it works. For those reasons, I think we reject any modifications to the buffers.
Rick, did you put something about traffic in there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't know the impacts. The impacts could be traffic, parking,
crime.
Who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
So, before we can add or amend, we need.
That's not even a motion. I state our reason. The motion is, and I can't. I'm not the chair. Somebody needs to make the motion. It's simply, I'm the chair of this body.
Well, so that's what we're doing. We're discussing this motion, so we can make some sort of a motion, and we'll vote on it, and then send that to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission will reconsider all that, and then send everything together to the City Council. Did I understand that right, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, you really make a recommendation to both the Planning Commission and City Council, for that matter, yeah.
Yeah.
So would you like a show of hands of how many of us agree with what Rick wrote down, and then that could just be forwarded?
No, let's get this. I would entertain a motion to reject any modification to the buffers for the reasons that I've stated. Would someone care to make that motion?
I would second that motion.
Someone make the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
I will still second the motion.
All right. Now it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on this? Anyone else have any points they want to make? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Great. Passes unanimously. It's your show, Eric.
Back on it. Mr. Peterson.
I would like to make a motion.
Please.
I'm going to make a motion. We're going to have some discussion and amend the motion later, if that's...
Sure.
Because I'm going to move that we recommend, Planning Commission recommend reducing the buffer to 600 feet, because it sounded like 4 of us would probably go for that. But nobody would, 4 of us would not go for 100 feet. So I'll recommend 600 feet. I will move we reduce it to 600 feet, and that we limit the number of licenses to 4 in the city.
Okay.
If I can get a second, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'll...
Mr. Singhal seconded the motion. Any discussion?
My discussion is if I can't get 4 people willing to go with a limit of 4 licenses, I'll take that out, because it sounded like I can get 4 people to go with a 600 feet.
Mr. Miller.
I don't have a problem with the 600 feet, as I mentioned before. I do have a problem with putting a cap on the number of stores in the city. I think that's we have no idea where the state's going to go, where the amount of stores that they may need. It's really premature for us at this stage to put a cap on the number of stores. So, for that reason alone, I would not vote for the motion as it stands.
Okay.
Mr. Singhal?
I believe that a cap would be something that gives us the flexibility to go back if a state decides to make a change in the number of permits. We always have a flexibility to go back and adjust the cap if it makes sense based on both land use and community interest at the time that that situation arises. But I believe it would be very dangerous to put ourselves in a position where the state can simply make that change and we don't have that flexibility to get the input. Frankly, I think the reduction to the 600 kind of only makes sense to me if the number of licenses, if we understand the number of licenses. So I would have a hard time removing the cap and then still staying with a 600 reduction.
Just so I'm understanding, I guess then you were generally in agreement with Mr. Peterson's motion?
I'm generally in agreement with Mr. Peterson's original motion as a reasonable compromise.
Okay. Any further discussion? Mr. Pruitt?
I think I agree with the 600 feet. I could agree with the cap. I'm not willing to say that at this point. I don't feel like we can arbitrarily decide to cap the number of certain businesses in the city without looking into it and studying it more. And I would prefer that we do that before we made that decision. But I'd be good with the 600 feet.
Ms. Cullen?
I'll support the 600 feet, but would defer on the cap.
All right. Well, I've already made my views known.
Call for a question.
Hang on. Mr. Peterson, are you wanting to?
No, go ahead.
Okay, we'll call for the question on, well, I heard a lot of people expressing interest in potentially amending Mr. Peterson's motion. Is there anyone who wants to do that?
Well, I would offer the motion maker an amendment to delete the portion about the cap and just reduce the buffers to 600 feet.
Well, that's what I'm fishing around for, trying to figure out if four people don't want the cap.
Well, there's a motion on the floor.
Yeah.
And it's
Mr.
Kind of
Miller
a,
has.
It's a little bit of a strange amendment because it goes to the heart of your motion. But if you want to move for an amendment, I'll make the amendment.
Okay. Is there a second to Mr. Miller's motion to amend?
I'll second.
Ms. Cullen seconds it. And that was to amend Mr. Peterson's initial motion of 600 feet with four licenses to remove the license cap requirement. I think we've had enough discussion on this. I'll call for the question on Mr. Miller's motion to amend. Can we just do a voice, or do I need to go one by one?
I think one by one would be helpful just to understand who's doing what.
Mr. Peterson?
No.
Mr. Pruitt?
Yes.
Mr. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Singhal?
No.
Ms. Cullen?
Yes.
And I also vote yes. So the motion, Mr. Peterson's initial motion has been amended. So now it is just a recommendation of a reduction to 600 feet. I'll call for the question on that motion as amended. Mr. Peterson.
Yes.
Mr. Pruitt.
Yes.
Mr. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Singhal.
No.
Ms. Cullen.
Yes.
And I also vote yes. So the motion passes
five to one.
5-1. Are we, well, okay, so I suppose we also need to, there was proposed language from staff on what the code would look like. Probably should address that as well. The Planning Commission should, at least. I don't think that the Houghton Community Council needs to. Does that sound right?
That would
staff?
Be good.
Just going to put it up.
If we could get that up. Does anyone have any thoughts on this?
Wouldn't we just be changing 100 to 600?
Yes, that is an option. I have a thought on it, though, if I may jump in now.
Go for it.
Not, okay. yeah, I recognize myself. The statute as amended, or the RCW 6950331, subpart 8B, allows a license to be granted if we enact an ordinance authorizing such a distance reduction. As currently drafted, I think there's some ambiguity in the text. I would recommend changing it to read that it may be located within 1,000, but no more, or wait, within, because the default is 1,000 unless we do something, unless we make a change authorizing it. That's how I read 8A, read 8A and B together. And so I think we need to say that it may be within 1,000. We need to be affirmatively state that, but no more than 600. So I think we need to prescribe that it may be within 1,000, but less. Because as right is right now, if it says 600, then that would also include 1,000. Does that make sense? I think we need to provide we need to specifically authorize that it can be less than 1,000.
So,
but
like
then
in
set
in the second to the last line, where it says within 100 feet, is that what you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, that is what I'm referring to.
So within 1,000 feet, but no closer than 600 feet or something to that effect?
I would amend it to, pursuant to RCW 6951331, it may be located within 1,000 feet, but no portion of the property may be located or can be located within 600
closer
feet.
Than.
What's that?
Closer than 600 feet.
Yes. Thank you. Did everyone follow that? And does anyone have any thoughts on that?
One thing I'm not clear on. I believe the policy simply says, the RCW simply says that local jurisdictions may lower the buffer down to as low as 100 feet. Would it be clearer if we simply asserted in that way? So pursuant to so-and-so in the city of Kirkland, the buffers are extended or reduced from 1,000 feet to 600 feet.
Well, that's what the ordinance would say, but also, I mean, that the statute has to be, or the code has to be somewhat understandable to people working with it. Mm-hmm. I see your point, though.
Eric, if this is going to take much time, we'd like to probably just work. I think our.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So,
yeah, can we.
Any problem with us excusing ourselves if you guys want to continue this discussion?
I don't think it'll take too much longer.
Okay.
I'm not sure if people are even agreeing with my idea. Yeah, understood.
Let them go for this.
We let you guys have your talk. We listen to them.
We may get a sit-in filibuster out of these guys or something here if we're not careful.
Okay, well, is there any further discussion? Yes.
I might suggest, based on your comments, that the staff have the city attorney review the language in this ordinance or proposed code amendment to make sure that it does address Eric's concerns.
Yeah, if we're okay, I will. If we're okay with it, I will send my proposed language to staff and CC.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Very good.
Otherwise, we're okay
you can leave
with
now.
That. Do we need a separate motion? I don't think you need it. No. Okay. Great. All right. Sorry for derailing us for a few minutes there. Okay, before we close the meeting, is there any additional public comment not on the marijuana regulations? No. Okay, in that case, this meeting, this joint meeting of the Houghton Community Council and the Kirkland Planning Commission is adjourned.
And we have a couple minutes. Maybe we have 2 minutes before the next meeting, Mr. Chair.
Right. I think we're going to move down to the